Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
There's a very beautiful chapter in the Bible that gives a story, and the disciple Mark gives it. It is just beautiful. And I've asked Brother Dan if he would read this morning Mark's Gospel chapter 8 and verses 22 through the end of the chapter, Mark's Gospel 8. 22 through 38, and to give respect and honor to God's holy word, let's stand as Brother Dan reads this for us.
And he cometh to Bethsaida, and he bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town or tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoso shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Amen. This is the word of God, and so let's remain standing for our word of
prayer. Our Father, this morning we're grateful that you have brought us to this place to sing these hymns and to expect that thy Spirit would work in our hearts, and you've invited us to come to the throne of grace and mercy. And our Father, we realize that we can ask of thee. We ask the Lord this morning for individual help, and as we are individuals here, we have needs. Look upon us. May we have your will and your blessings. We desire spiritual help. We desire spiritual health. We desire that we might be of a mind to speak forth of Jesus Christ. Help us in that aspect. And then these bodies that we have, we pray that you would help us, that we might do what is right by them. And then, our Father, we thank you for your grace, your bountiful grace toward us, and your goodness toward us. And we ask this morning that as we're here, your grace be upon us as we study the Word, and that this would be a profitable time, that our Lord Jesus would be honored, and our Father, that you would, in your free course, work in each of our hearts and collectively as a church. In the name of Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now let us sing Savior, Thy Dying Love. It's 538. That chapter 8 in Mark that our brother Dan read to us, the portion of it, was precious and delightful. Now let us sing before we study in that passage. Let's sing together. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life, 722. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. While you're turning there, it's a delight to see, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 great-grandchildren. That is wonderful. Kenneth, I want to shake your hand. He took him out and taught him how to trout fish yesterday. Had a great time. We have nice 8 or 10 big ones to fry up. Thank you so much, Ken, for taking time and doing that. Well, this passage this morning, I tell you what precipitated it. We were having family devotions, and it told about the two disciples, followers of Jesus, after the Lord was crucified and was buried and rose again, and they didn't understand what it was all about, and they decided to go to Emmaus, and Emmaus is about from here to the Little Sauk Creek, go through Matoursville, all the way through town, and you come to Creek. About that distance they were walking. And as they were walking along, the Lord Jesus, in his resurrected body, he goes along, starts talking to them. And they were down in the mouth, and they said, where you been? And they said to Jesus, didn't you hear what happened? What they did to our prophet? And he lived here and performed miracles, and they crucified him and buried him. And the Lord Jesus, so marvelous, he takes them back through the Old Testament, explains the whole thing to them as they're walking. And he said, well, it's getting kind of late. Maybe you'll stay, won't you? You'll stay for the evening, and you'll stay for the night, will you? And he said, oh, well. And they sat down to have a bite to eat. So wonderful. They didn't know that was the Lord Jesus, resurrected Savior. And as he broke the bread, their eyes were open. And they saw who it was. And he disappeared. And they went all the way back, 10 miles walked all the way back, to tell the other disciples, we've seen the Lord! You know what did to me? We are human creatures. This is the voice of God. God has called me to give this word, but some of us won't be able to get it right away. All of us. None of us have arrived. But you know, in this chapter 8, the Lord gets rather strong on us as disciples. That, what's the matter with you? Why don't you understand these things? What have you been doing? And when you look at our society, if you ask most of us about the news of the day, you say, well, yeah, that happened yesterday. Last week I heard that in the news. And you say, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I do this. And you can tell all about it. And you say, well, the president administration is far down in Washington. I can tell you what's going on. But what's the matter with us when the Lord says, how is it that you don't understand these things? Lord, you got pretty hard on them there. And he said, but not just you, them, but you also, preacher, and all the folk that are here this morning to get down and tell you, why don't you understand that I'm talking to you? Say, well, Lord, yeah, we have our excuses, don't we? So, I want to say this in opening. Our understanding needs to be healed. We need healing. I know it's hard, but our understanding about our Lord Jesus. You sang every one of those hymns this morning about the Lord Jesus. Everyone sang about him, or were about him. And I find that in this passage, a uniqueness. I find there's a two-staged affair about this blind man that Dan read about. And what about him? Well, I'd like to just go over it a little bit, but before I do, I think most people are pretty well satisfied with an abstract sermon and a service. Well, we went to church. Yeah. What was it about? Well, I just know it was pretty good. Abstract preaching and teaching goes over fairly well for most of us. It didn't cause us any pain or strain, and we didn't have to give a test. They didn't give us a test. And so we just went to church, got a little something in our head, perhaps. But it probably won't change as much as far as our lives. Beloved friends, I want to tell you, you can have a head full of Bible. You can have a head full of confession of faith. You can have a head full of Bible quotations. But it has to go further than the head. And the Lord Jesus is giving lessons here. And he's saying it has to go beyond the head. He said, this man, he touched him. And it did a strange situation. I just tell you, still is not accepted. Well, let's look at it a little bit. Let's go down here to verse 23 of the 8th chapter of Mark. There's this blind man, of course, in verse 22 in Bethsaida. They bring a blind man to the Lord Jesus, and they besought him to touch him. So he took the blind man, verse 23, by the hand, touched him by the hand, and what did he do with him? He led him out of the town. So in privacy, in quietness, boy, some of us need to be led to places of quietness. And he said, when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Now, beloved, I don't understand. Spit in his eyes. The Lord Jesus, don't you know anything about sanitations? I must remind you, this is God in the flesh. And he, in that day, spitting was as bad as it is today. But my dear mother would, if I had hurt her something, she would kiss it. It was affectionate. Your mom didn't do things like that, did she? I don't understand, Lord. But you did it. I know who you are. No sin in you. And I'm going to accept it. Because there's two stages here. Stages? Yes, there's stages. So, what happened? After he spit on his eyes, he put his hand upon him. There he touched him again. And asked him if he saw anything. Well, the blind man looked up. He looked. And said, I see men as trees walking. Men as trees walking. Well, praise God. Now he's beginning to say something. Well, that's all over then. The man's healed. No, it's only partial sight. Do you want partial sight or do you want full sight? How about spiritually? Are you satisfied with the head knowledge? A little confession of a faith. The fact that you've been to church for so many years and you're a regular attender and you give to the church. You're satisfied with all that. That is only partial. It has to be individual. It has to be personal. It has to be a new birth. Oh, brethren, if you're just satisfied with the decision you made back there at some little church service, or you walked the aisle, raised your hand, walked the aisle, and had a little prayer with preacher, and now you're saved forever. No, no. Most people like that are blind, continue to be blind. Well, Lord, I don't understand what you're trying to teach us here. And then after verse 25, the second part of this healing, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Back in that area, the sun is very glaring, and you'll find in the Bible a lot of people have problems with their eyes. In fact, it's not uncommon in areas to see people have crusted over eyelids. But this man was completely blind. And now he was restored. Had him look up because the glare might have been too much for him in verse 25. And he saw every man clearly. Lord, what do you want us to know about that? You want us all to be healers? Well, I'll tell you one thing. We can use some good healers. But if you think you're a healer, I want you to go with me the first thing you can. We're going down to Muncie. And we're going down the halls. You say you're a healer. We're going down the halls. Well, what are we going to do? Hiya there! I'm Pastor Robbins. I have a man here as a healer, a woman here as a healer, and she'll heal you. He'll heal you today. Will he do it? They'll probably say, oh, I'll say a prayer for you. No change. Patient, it's your fault. If you had the faith, you'd be healed. Oh, you say you're a healer. And it depends on you. If you've got that gift, heal these people. Don't be criticizing the person because they don't have faith. And I believe in healing. And laying on hands. But it may be a while. It may not be instantaneous. No. It's instantaneous. Well, you didn't read the Bible here. This was a partial thing. It took a little while. And then he was restored. You know, I think there's lessons here for us. Now, what will you have? I'll have a hamburger and I'll have french fries and a milkshake. Boy, hurry up. Hurry up. Wait 3 minutes. I wish they'd get at it a little faster. Wait 3 minutes to get a hamburger, fries, and a milkshake. That's the way we're conditioned. And the Lord's saying, come out. Come here. We're going to go outside of the village where we can have some quiet, a quiet talk. They brought you to me that I might heal you. And he said, as he let him out, the Lord touched him, And then he did that unthinkable thing that to this society, it blows us away and say, he spit on his eyes. Man, oh, daddy. But he did it. And then he saw men as trees walking. Blind people, they see by their hands. That's nice. It's nice. Huh. If a blind person say, oh, come here, I want to see you. How are they going to see you? They're blind. And they go touch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so he said to him in verse 26, the restored man, he sent him away to his house. Now go home. Now don't go into town. Nor I don't want you telling anybody in town. Well, wait a minute. I got healed. I'm going to tell the whole world. I'm going to be like a new rooster that Sonny and his family got for us, a fighting cock. And he crows. I'm going to crow. I'm going to say how wonderful. And yeah, great. But the Lord says, I don't want you to do that. You don't want me to tell you how wonderful you healed me? No, I want you to go home. I don't want you going into town. Well, tell about Jesus. Lord, there must be some reason. The reason is he was not ready. Salvation, there needs to be a repentance. That is, I'm going down this road and I'm enjoying myself and my sins and everything I'm doing. I'm having a great time. I'm making money. I'm sinning like everything. And the Bible says, unless you want to go to heaven, you got to repent. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God says, it's now or never, Robbins. I said, well, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Then you repent. What? You turn from your sins completely. Turn around. Turn around. Now you go that way. Not that broad way, but you go the narrow and the straight way. And you trust me and the work of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary and receive eternal salvation. Go this way, son. And turn your back on those ways. Those old fleshly ways. Now serve me. I really feel badly. Somebody that's a big shot, they say they get and come to know the Lord and they use them in their crusades, and you can tell they don't really know much about anything. The Lord says the lesson here is you go home. And when you go home and think about these things is what it's really saying. And you do a little preparation and thinking about this matter and get some instruction. I hope I'm not talking to anybody here that says, well, I know the Lord. You do. I'm glad for that. And so, what are you reading the Bible? No. I really don't get time to read the Bible. Do you have prayer? Well, we have prayer at the table, sure. Huh? Do you go to church? No, not really. Oh, my word. You say you're a Christian? The Lord says clearly that we are to pray, we're to read, study thyself, to be approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, to study the word of God. And then forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, inasmuch as you see the day of the Lord's coming. No. Don't say you're a Christian just because you made some kind of decision at a crusade or a church service or some preacher had you held your hand while he prayed for you. It is a turning from sin, and that's a habitual thing. Everything doesn't change. What do you mean? I've been around people that are so simple-minded spiritually. Somebody makes a decision for the Lord, and somebody says, I trust the Lord. And you say, if he trusts the Lord, he'd get a haircut. If he trusts the Lord, he would dress differently. If she really knew the Lord, she'd wear a head covering or go all those way down. He doesn't look like a Christian. If he's really a Christian, he'll look like a Christian, and he won't walk perfectly right away. One of those Burger King things. You're not being realistic. Most people men aren't born with beards. It takes a while. And so when you hammer on somebody and say, hey, you said he was a Christian, huh? Did you say he was a Christian? Look at him. He doesn't come to church. Hardly ever see him. He's doing the same things. And you say, would you talk to him? Hey, how's it going, Charlie or Pete? He said, well, I am trying to read the Word of God, and I do ask the Lord to help me, and I come to church when I can to study the Word of God. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. It's a gradual process. It's new life. It's a new birth. We have the Spirit of God in us, but it's a gradual thing. You don't believe it? It's partial. Read this. Partial. But it's wonderful. It's complete. Now, we didn't read the first 8 verses in this chapter, and they're beautiful too. I'm going to take time to read Mark 8, the first 8 verses. Maybe 9. This is beautiful too. Well, it says, in those days the multitude being very great and have nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto him. You want to know about Christ? Watch this. He said, I have compassion, he said, on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. My word. If we don't have lunch at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be saying, where are we? But he said, 3 days. And they were listening to the Lord Jesus. That's kind of a forgetting oneself, isn't it? And he said, and if I send the Lord Jesus speaking here, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, well, they'll faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. A whole lot of people came from a distance. Well, the disciples answered him, and he said, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? There's no supermarket or Sam's Club around. And he asked him, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. Well, he commanded people to sit down. He gave them the authority, said, sit down, please, on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks. I just love this. And he brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed. And he commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat. What do you know about Christ? And so they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat or the food that was left. How many baskets left? 7 baskets. Well, now, wait a minute. It only started out with 7 loaves. You mean we got more? Yes, we got basketfuls. 7 of them. And they that had eaten were about how many? 4,000. And he sent them away. Tell me if you know the Lord Jesus. Huh? Do you really know that? Do you really know him? Do you know who he is? Marvelous. Marvelous. He's not that little weakling knocking on the door. Won't you please come to know me? Open your heart's door, you big sinner, you. Open your heart's door. No, he has to do it. Salvation is of God. Yes. You know, as we go a little further, in verse 12, he got to this Dalmathnulov. There's Pharisees. And, you know, we've got Pharisees around town, and it might be that some would say we're Pharisees. You might be a Pharisee. You know that? At verse 11, the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. They were tempting him. Not only that, they began to argue with him. and he and they're just to trick him up. These were people who were religious. These were Bible people who were taught, educated. They didn't like him. He was having big crowds. I showed you it in the latter part of this, how many crowd, 5,000 and so forth, 4,000. Wow. And they were not happy with the Lord Jesus. So they were trying to tempt him, put him to test. And how did the Lord Jesus feel about the religious crowd that didn't know they weren't saved? He looked at him, verse 12, and he sighed deeply in his spirit. And he saith, "Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." Now, in another place, he does speak about a matter, and I don't know if I can pull this up or not, but I'll try. because it's some of you had a big time celebrating Easter, didn't you? I hope you didn't celebrate Easter, because that's paganism, but resurrection is something that's a little different. If you didn't know the difference, then you didn't do any studying either. But anyway, yes, here it is. Listen, why don't we have a sign? We want to see a sign, the Pharisee. And he said, oh, an evil generation. He says in Matthew 12, and I turn back there, and verse 38, there are certain of the scribes and the Pharisee. This is connected. This is a cross-reference. Certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees in Matthew 12 and verse 38, and they answered and saying, Master, we'd see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, again, it's the same thing, almost, an evil and adulterous generation that seek after a sign. What kind of generation? Evil and adulterous. They seek a sign after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Prophet Jonas. Verse 40. How's your math this morning? Some of you graduated with A's. Come on, Ian. You're going to need to help me. You're really sharp at math. Check this one out for me. We have verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, didn't you ever hear of Good Friday? It doesn't work out. Maybe you need to take modern math, preacher. But I know what the Bible says what a day is, and I know what a night is. Now, I could cop out and say, well, as long as it was a portion of a day, that's fine. That's not what he said. He said 3 days and 3 nights. When was Jesus Christ crucified? Come on, math students. Tell me, when was he crucified? You got A's. Do you think I'm going to tell you, don't you? I challenge you. You figure it out yourself. You had a big thing on Friday. You had Holy Thursday. And you just went all through it. And you thought everything was just fine. You had Lent. And it's all based on paganism, except the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not paganism, preacher. No, it isn't. But we observe the resurrection of Jesus Christ how often around here? How often do we observe the resurrection of Christ? 52 times a year. And then we have 6 times a year that we have the observance of the Lord's Supper, where it talks about his Lord and his coming back. Hey, don't tell me we don't believe in resurrection around here. This is a resurrection day. And we observe it as the early Christians. Why do you tell us this? Because a lot of people say, I can't understand why you're saying Good Friday was not when Christ was crucified. I can't understand that. Say, well, you'll have to study a little bit the scriptures. You know, you'll do a little studying too. And say, well, so are you telling me that as far as attainments in this Christian walk, that I need to personally repent from my sins? That's the first thing. Yes, sir. And then I must place my faith and confidence in the trust that Jesus Christ took my penalty at the cross of Jesus, at that cross of Calvary. Yes, sir. And then you tell me that now I'm in an area where I'm in a position that there may be some attainments in my life, growth. And he may use me, giving each one of us a gift at least. Well, let's go on to verse 13 and 14. So, after he said there is no sign to be given unto this generation except the one of Jonas, he left them and he entered into the ship. Again, departed to the other side. Now, he's down on the west side and they're going back up towards the north side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Watch this. This is so cute. But it speaks a lot about us. They forgot to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, he tells them about the, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. You watch out. These, everybody speaks real nice and nice ways and soft and everything. He said, watch these religious people. Watch them. Just because there's a Bible in their hands, just because they preach and there's a Bible around, and say, oh, he has a Bible. There's apostasy, there are heretics. And they are wolves dressed up in sheep clothing. Anyway, verse 16 of Mark 8. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, they're talking about them, it's because we have no bread. And so when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, now watch this. This is kind of like a little bit of a scolding, if you don't mind. Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have your hearts yet hardened? Lord, take it easy on me. He said, I've been with you now nearly 3 years. And you don't understand who I am? Don't you remember what happened just recently before we came down here and we're going back now? How that we took those 7 loaves and fed all those thousands of people? What's the matter? Why are you fussing about when you have no bread? And then he says further, verse 18, having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Boy, Lord, take it easy on me. You have eyes, can't you see? Don't you have ears, can't you hear? And hey, and have you no recall? Don't you remember I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And oh, they're good at math here. And he said, well, 12. Yeah, sure. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, whoa, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that you do not understand? That's a question to all of us. That's to all of us. How is it that you don't understand? Do you prioritize with eternal values in view? Or is the common, ordinary day, that's what's more important than anything else? As far as eternity, I made my decision and I don't have to worry about anything else. The Lord says, oh no, you don't have it right. This proves it. You don't have it right. Don't you understand? How is it that you don't understand? Don't they teach you anything at church? Doesn't the preacher give you anything at all? These preachers? Got 3 or 4 of them? And you don't understand? Maybe you're not applying yourselves. When you came in that door, you put on a hat to concentrate. This is not a playhouse. We didn't have a quartet here to get you jigging. We're not into that. We wouldn't have space enough if we started that kind of entertainment. We came here to worship God. And worshiping in a realm of spirit, in a realm of truth, and that means you, You're going to have to be accounted for it, and I'm going to have to be accounted for it. And don't forget it, friends. This old preacher is going to have to give an account for what he's preached, and you're going to have to give account for what you heard. Don't get off the hook. Sure, we'd like to have a hammer on the preacher, and God will speak to him. Why didn't you do this, and why didn't you do that? But if I just come in here with, I had a busy week. Well, we all did. And I'm tired. I finally made it here. Just be glad I made it here, preacher. You do me a favor? Yeah, I made it here. I think I'll rest a while. No, if I sound hard, then you ask me the answer. He said, why don't you remember? How come that you don't understand these things? And he says, verse 22. Oh, that blind man. I'm just so glad. Well, he still didn't understand. After he gave the lesson, he said, and then verse 26, don't you go into town. You're not ready to go in town yet. I remember one time we were distributing a little Bibles at the Bloomsburg Fair grounds at the gates. Like 50,000 of these little Bibles we gave to people as they'd come in. You ever see the little Bible? Yeah, we. And so one dear lady came to one of the young girls. I was passing out the Bible. And she said, honey, could you tell me how to be saved? If someone would say to you, honey, could you tell me how, sir, could you tell me how to be saved? Just because you take a week down to Central America or to Africa and say you're a missionary, you better be sure you know how to talk about the Lord Jesus and know him personally and be able to tell a person how to come to know Christ. Don't go send some young people down the country and they don't even know which side's up just to get a little vacation and call them missionaries. Missionaries are those who plant churches. But I just haven't learned how to do that. What's your excuse? Let me see your grades for the last quarter of school. You older folks, let me see your report cards. Most of you are not ashamed. I know you. I'm not ashamed to show you my report card. No, it's not straight A's, but I don't worry about it. And you don't understand? And you say you know the Lord? And you've known the Lord for all these years? I hope you're feeling like I'm feeling. Why is it I don't remember more? I can see I'm an old man. Yeah, well, I'll let you off the hook. No, I'm not going to be left off the hook. Anyway, he talks some further about, he wants them to see who he really is. They haven't found out who he really is. Remember the two fellows walking to Emmaus after the resurrection? They walked miles with him, and he talked to them about the Word of God, and he taught them and taught them. And they didn't even pick up until he broke bread. So, verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, here comes a question. You students, listen up. He asked the disciples, this is a little test saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? Verse 27. Well, they answered, John the Baptist. Some said Elias or Elijah. Some said one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered. And he saith unto him, the right answer, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one from God. Thank you, very good. Thank you very much. Those other guys failed. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Now here again, when he says, thou art the Christ, he said, I don't want you to tell anybody. Oh, Lord, I don't understand that. He said, you're not ready. You need to do some homework. You got gray hair? that excuse me? No. You have peach fuzz on your hair? Your head? No, that doesn't excuse you. Well, I'm... You're not excused, nor am I. Well, verse 31. And he began to teach them after all these years, and he didn't know, 3 years almost. He began to teach them that the Son of Man, what are you going to teach them? He says, I'm going to teach you. You're not ready to go yet. You need to see that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes. I'm in verse 31. And be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Whoa! They didn't even know that yet? And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him. Watch Peter now. Peter's like a bunch of us. Don't be too hard on Peter. Peter took him aside, and face to face, the Son of God. He looked him right in the eyes. He said, listen, what do you say, Peter? Peter said, it rebuked him. Rebuked him. Who did he rebuke? The Son of Man, the Son of God. God in the flesh. And when he had turned about, he looked at his disciples, and this is what he said. Peter in the back, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He said, I want you to know that that is simply a fleshly human understanding. Oh, Peter, fleshly human mindset. So you are a student. You have a fleshly mindset. That fleshly mindset, that has to be done, this process. Come to know Christ. Put faith in him, and then you can have some attainments. But you can't do it by fleshly mindsets. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. What does that have to do with anything? We think we can do it just the way we want to do it. No, Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Boy, Lord. That's really raw. That's hard. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but you just want the things, the fleshly mindset of man. And these last few words are precious. Don't tell me they're boring. These are precious verses, 34 through the end of the chapter. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto him, and this is what he says. He's saying, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Let me just stop there before I finish out. What are you saying, Lord? He said, you know, to be a follower of Christ, he's the one we are to obey explicitly, and to love beyond anybody, even your spouse. And listen, you have to realize this. It's me first. It's my doings. I am going to do this. You are. And I am going to go there. You are. And this is what I'm going to do. You are. And you say you're a Christian. I am a Christian. Got news for you. The Lord says, that's not the route to take. The route to take is that put me first. Me first, not you first. Lord, you don't mean that. Well, what does it mean then to you? Verse 34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because listen, you go on to save your life and you do all you can and spend all your time trying to figure out how you can live longer and do this. He said, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose it and it's not going to pay. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, not your sake, and the gospel the same shall save it. And then this great verse 36. Great verse. For what should a prophet, a person or a man, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul. I'm going to do this. All right? I'm going to be this. I'm going to go to college to study this. I'm going to really do something. And so you do it. And you be successful by the definition of the world. You can happen to you like it says in verse 36. It won't profit you at all. You can gain all that you say you're going to do and then lose your own soul. How stupid. And you think you're a student. How stupid that is. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is so precious. Precious. Precious soul. And he said, I want to say this. Verse 38, the last. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are you ready? How is it with your sight? How pleased I was. I went to the eye doctor and he gave me he said, you're fine. Extensive test. Extensive. And I thought, well, he's going to find fault. Nice to have full sight, not just partial. Spiritually speaking, to have full sight, spiritually speaking, so you can see 20/20. And I tell you, brethren, that's glorious. And those of us have pretty good eyes, we ought to be grateful. Not just take it for granted. God's good to us. But I find some people that don't have full sight physically, then they're more diligent about the things of God than we are. And that ought to put all of us to shame. Someone that can't see too well, and then study and know more about the Word of God because he obeys it. And those of us have eyes that we don't study like we should. And excuse ourselves. I'm not a preacher. Who says it? The Bible doesn't say preachers. It said, go ye. It says all of us. I want to say this. All right. I get the picture. I turn from my sins. I put trust in Christ and my faith in him. And I want to serve him. And I want to do things that I'll mean for Christ. He said, that's fine. But you got to recognize that to get the attainments, there's a process. There's steps to go up. Salvation and faith and confidence in Christ, and then read the Word of God, prayer, and meet with God's people, challenging one another. Now then, maybe you know how to talk to somebody about how to be saved. Say, well, I can't talk to anybody about being saved. Don't say that, friends. If you're a Christian, don't say that. That shows that you really are grossly spiritually ignorant. I don't want that to be said of any of you. But the Bible makes it amply clear that the closing hymn is so true. Will you turn with me in 418? It's so true, 418, that we have not known thee as we ought. And where we haven't arrived. Now, wait a minute. I didn't get that. Try that again, please. Yeah. Yes, that's it. Thank you.
as we sing the last two in the way of benediction.
We have not served thee as we ought. Alas, the duties left undone, the work with little fervor wrought, the battles lost or scarcely won. Lord, give the zeal and give the mind for thee to toil, for thee to find. When shall we know thee as we are? I fear and love and serve aright. When shall we out of triumph wrought be perfect in the land of light? Lord, may we day by day prepare to see thy face and serve thee.
Lord God, we ask that we might take to heart that we need to know you more and to know our blessed Lord Jesus, not just to have a theological view, but our hearts might know him personally, savingly. We do ask for help, and we ask that your grace be upon us and that peace that passes all understanding that comes from the Father and from our Lord Jesus, the one who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.